This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store. For an amazing selection of Star Wars action figures, collectibles, memorabilia, and much more, head over to StarWarsReport.com/toys.
Jet is back. James Arnold Taylor hosts the main stage at Star Wars Celebration, April 16th through the 19th, 2015.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome, come one, come all. Welcome to the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad that you've decided to join us on this morning, afternoon, or evening. Please delete as appropriate. I'm your host for this evening, Riley Blanton. And I'm so glad to be joined, as always, by my sister and co-host,
hey!
Bethany.
Yes.
Welcome, I'm welcome.
Here. Couldn't quite let you finish. I tried. I tried so hard.
I understand. We're pumped. Star Wars Report is back. For the first time in a long time, for the first time in forever, we're actually recording 2 weeks consecutively.
How many times have you watched that movie now?
Just four.
Curious. Four. Okay. That makes sense.
You asked as if you hadn't seen it the exact same amount of times.
I know. You've seen it one more time than I have. I've only seen it a measly three times.
All right. All right. Joining us as well is our dear friend and defender of the legends. Can that be a thing now? It's Mark Herleman.
I like it.
Hey. Four. Now tell me that's four sets of two digits each, because I've watched that show so much. I can't let it go. Let it go. Stuck in my head. Oh, no.
Oh, goodness. No. You have young daughters, so I should not. I can say nothing. I have nothing on the amount of times.
Gina's just. It's adorable, though. I mean, to go on a frozen tangent here, she will literally knock on the door. And then she hangs her head low and puts her little lip out, and then she slumps down the door. And then we bought her a little Anna doll, and now she, it's insane how much she loves
it.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
And she starts screaming, no, no. I believe I posted it.
Yeah, I saw that.
I saw that on Facebook. That was adorable. Mad.
That was absolutely incredible. No, that was awesome. So, we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. We got the Star Wars Rebels trailer, rumors for the Episode 7 film title, Harrison Ford and Han Solo burying the hatchet, or the lightsaber, as it were. Some more details on Episode 7 from Entertainment Weekly. And, of course, Simon Kinberg has spoken out on the Rebels Season 1. So there's a whole lot to talk about. And let's bring him in to help us do so. It's Mr. Carl LeClaire from the fantastic Wampa's Lair podcast. How are you, sir?
Oh, good. What a nice describing word.
Fantastic.
It is quite fantastic, isn't
it? Well, see,
it?
It's not the same if you just say from the fabulous or from the great, or even just saying from
the
fantastic.
What if you had said from the semi-boring Wampa's Lair podcast?
From the
frozen. Like,
you know?
Ooh.
Well, there you go. Well, no, because like, and you can't just say fantastic. It has to be fantastic. It's got to have like the nice dump, start up, finish low, just emphatic, right? I just feel my enthusiasm.
Emphasize the word fan, you know? you gotta work
that.
So is Jason
there,
holding down the old lair? Is he hanging there all by himself, hanging solo?
I'm riding solo.
What was that, Mark?
All right, we'll pause the recorder and we'll jump right back.
I can't hear you either.
Oh, there we go. Okay, recorder's up and running. Look at that. Audio issues resolved. While our listeners didn't even have to hear it. It's the beautiful thing about podcasting. But no, Carl, we were asking you, so basically, how are things holding down over at the Wampa's Lair?
Oh, they're going well. We're doing, we're plugging along. We're almost to episode 85. I mean, we're having a great time.
Oh.
Jason and I, luckily, lately have been, I don't know, we've just been so enthused that we've been recording typically three or four episodes a month, which is good for us.
No, yeah, that's awesome. I mean, think about it. Three Star Wars Report podcasts very soon will be over 100 episodes. That's mind-blowing.
Oh, yes. It's pretty awesome.
Well,
it's
I'm listening to your guys' show that you did on Redemption, and I'm really enjoying that, by the way. So if you guys aren't subscribed...
Riley, you really should pause it while you're recording a show, though, because, you know, it's just silly.
Yes, I know.
You can hear me
somehow,
right?
I'm hearing you twice, Carl. Right now, I've got in my fair point. No, I
just
really
can't get enough of Carl.
Ah, well, I know. me and Steve Glosson both.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? Bethany, you can sit next to whoever you want. I want to sit next to Riley.
Wait, can this be a thing now? I would.
Yeah, I'm gonna battle Steve with this. Be like, fine, you can have Bethany. I'm sitting next to Riley.
Oh, Carl, you're making me so happy.
Yes,
you have no idea what I've endured. Riley. Nobody, see, no one wants to sit next to me, but you do now, Carl.
Oh, I totally do.
Yes,
I totally.
Yes,
nothing wrong with Bethany, but I'm a Riley fan. Remember when one of our shows, like. I can't remember, you and Bethany were like posting on our Facebook page about who we liked more. And
oh, yeah.
I think Jason foolishly said Bethany, but I was like, no way, I'm a Riley guy.
Ah, oh, you made me so happy too.
my, this year Riley guy.
Exactly. No, it's one of those things where having Wampa's Lair, just on a quick side tangent, having Wampa's Lair get so far into the episodes and now Rebels Roundtable is launching. It's just like the amount of podcasts on our site just blows my mind. It's awesome at how many of us. It's like we're our own community of Star Wars podcasters. And then there are so many more great ones as well that we're involved in. I was thinking about that. Like when the casting news broke last week, that mm-hmm. was really cool just how we're in a part of the community where people are suddenly texting each other and everybody's excited about going on everybody else's show. That's really cool to me.
Mm, yeah, me too. It's been fun. That was great how we all got to chat that night, too. It was great.
No, except for my internet was crappy. But, you know, that's there's something about whenever, like, Steve Glosson is on a show that I'm doing, and it's like my internet goes, you would be terrible. But such
that's
as
Glosson's hacking you at the same time. He's like, you'll never know.
Exactly. But no, as we're going in, as a group of podcasters, I'm so excited. And hey, I wanted to mention this. I'd forgotten to put it in the show notes, and I just thought of it. I wanted to mention to the listeners, we will be, Bethany and I will be, speaking of community of Star Wars podcasters, we'll be down at Disney Star Wars Weekends, Memorial Day weekend. That's the weekend of the 24th for one of the Star Wars Weekends. So it'll be our first time there, Bethany, and I'm super stoked about it. I was actually just working on hammering out some last details, travel details today, but Jason, Jimmy, Rebel Force Radio, and Steve Glosson are kind of organizing a big listener gathering, and so we're going to go crash the party. It's pretty much what we're going to do. We're just going to show up. We're going to hand out a bunch of Star Wars Report flyers. No. We should, though. That would be pretty cool. But no, we've got a lot to talk about on this episode. First and foremost of which, I want to bring in a Star Wars Episode 7 rumor alert. Who knew? Star Wars Episode 7, having some rumors. Here we go. There may be a title. This is from the 6th, just a few days ago as we record this on Jedi News. Rumor alert, is the new film called The Ancient Fear? There's zero to substantiate this. This is from Jedi News, other than Harry Knowles contacts and a history of getting scoops right in the past. But there is a certain logic in the alleged title. So here it is. This is straight from Ain't It Cool News. Harry Knowles said in response to his article earlier today from a source, basically he says he has confirmation, the one and only Harry Knowles, that the film title is called The Ancient Fear. What do you guys think?
I think it's just a working title, so it's not the title of the film.
Star Wars Episode 7.
I
mean,
I would be inclined to
I'm waiting
Carl.
For Episode 7 to be officially titled Blue Harvest, in homage to Return of the Jedi.
I was going
to
say,
that's what I want.
The Ewok Harvest.
I want it to be nothing to do with the film.
That would be funny.
You know, or like Attack of the Jawas. Or Revenge of the Ewoks.
What
or
I love.
Or
Stitch Punch.
Smoking with Low Gray. Or Cuddle Time with Ewoks. You know, something like that. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure.
A little too Disney.
The ancient.
You know, why don't they just call it? Why don't they call it The Return of Jafar and Vader?
Yeah. No doubt.
What's funny is
Ancient Fear to me, though, strikes me as like that whole, you know, I've never feared that Lucas was going to make a 7, 8, 9, and now the Ancient Fear has become truth. And I'm like, whoa, this is happening.
Well, I mean, what's interesting is that because of the source Harry Knowles, this rumor was making the rounds more so than a lot of other Episode 7 rumors. And because there were working titles that rumors have come out before, but I don't know if it's a working title. I think they might change it. I don't know if it's like a stand-in title, but yeah, working title, that sounds about right to me. And what could be interesting, I like the title. It's just funny to me how people say, I heard a chorus of reactions where it was all like, man, this is so much better than all the horrible prequel titles. Where like all the prequels are just terrible titles. So I think it's kind of funny because, I mean, people are so nitpicky about the prequel titles in some of the reactions that I was saying to this. I just thought it was kind of funny because none of the Star Wars movie titles, the first time you hear it, of course, they're all classic. We know them now, but none of the titles seem like that terrible to me. I just think it's funny how some people think what makes The Ancient Fear a way superior title than The Phantom Menace.
Right, that's kind of that's the reason why I'm a little
like people are colored.
It sounds
I mean, if you don't like The Phantom Menace, that's fine. But it's funny that that bleeds into your commentary of the title. It kind of goes into a general more thematic thing about some of the pop culture community online and internet, the interwebs, that makes me kind of perturbed at how people take any news about Episode 7 and make it gloriously positive, as if nothing can go wrong. And that kind of irritates me in a way. It's almost like intellectually dishonest to say, oh, The Ancient, man, that's a great title. That's a true indication that J.J. Abrams understands the depths of the Star Wars universe. Because, man, The Phantom Menace was a terrible title, right? And this Revenge of the Sith, horrible. I'm like, really? What? I guess it kind of goes to this. When you're critiquing Star Wars, as a fan, I don't care. If you have criticism of Star Wars, Carl, you don't like large swaths of the expanded universe. Mark, you love large swaths. Many people don't like the prequels. But at least when you're talking about it, answer the question why. Like, this is why I like this or don't like that. That makes it fun to talk about in conversation, like talking about that. But when it's just like a blanket statement or understanding of, oh, automatically something in Episode 7 must be awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Add to me behind it.
Well, yes, to me. Yeah, understanding that what you're saying.
There's a lot of people throwing stuff around, especially with the rumors and stuff. Like, this is fact. It's like, let's slow down. This necessarily isn't a fact. I mean, you know, even with the news of what came down with the EU, a lot of people thought that was fact and it was the writing on the wall from the start. It's like, no, it was never the writing on the wall. There were always other options. You know, I mean, that gets back to that intellectually dishonest part.
I don't know. So Ancient Fear, I don't know. And see, I think it's a great title. It gets a thumbs up for me. I personally think of the working titles that I've heard so far. Well, one was the other week, it was Order of the Jedi. Did you guys hear that? I thought that was an interesting one, but I think the Ancient Fear is by far the best one I've heard so far. So that'd be kind of interesting to see.
I guess the one thing that makes me hesitant on the title, other than it not being really completely confirmed, I mean, I get that the source is a pretty decent one, but The Ancient Fear does kind of sound like The Phantom Menace, and none of the other films sound alike. I mean, what's the difference between an Ancient Fear and a Phantom Menace, except that one's older than the other?
I think the difference is the fact that one of them will also be extremely hyped, but won't disappoint in the same way. That's my guess.
Yeah, and that's true. I don't think that there will be the.
I'm just kidding. That was being mean to episode one. I do like episode one.
It was funny because I think that's actually true, because I think you'll have a similarly high expectations. But as a filmmaker, I think J.J. Abrams and team are in a position to make a considerably better film than episode one. And I don't think that's unfair to say at all.
And I agree with that. But my thing is, none of the Star Wars movie titles have meant something similar. The Return of the Jedi means the Return of the Jedi. The Revenge of the Sith means the Sith are getting their revenge. The Phantom Menace does mean that there is a menace.
They are very
rising.
Literal titles.
They're very literal. And
yeah, but also Revenge of the Jedi was the working title for Return of the Jedi at one point as well.
Yeah.
That's
true. And I think that's the key thing is, first off, it's been revealed that it's a possible working title. It's not the title. You know, like Blue Harvest was the working title for Return of the First Year. I mean, working title is simply something that they put out there to try to dissuade people from being nosy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
pay no attention to that Ancient movie Fear crew behind that dune.
Exactly. Sorry, Carl.
Hey,
you
is
were
that
saying
Harrison Ford? No. That's Jason Sudeikis. okay.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of Harrison Ford, I want to highlight.
Let's talk about him.
Yeah, let's talk about Harrison Ford for a minute. I'm going to highlight an EW article that was in the news this week by Anthony Breznikin. Look at that. I'm just going to say that's the way it's pronounced. You heard it here first. And anybody else is wrong. No, Star Wars Episode 7. Harrison Ford and Han Solo bury the hatchet. It's not an article. It is an essay. And it's interesting. It features Harrison Ford's long history of, charitably putting it, his kind of aloofness from Star Wars. And it highlights this gentleman, actually, who interviewed Harrison Ford during the time of Indiana Jones. He highlights quite a few really fascinating quotes about Harrison Ford's view of the character of Han Solo. And I'm going to paraphrase a few, and Bethany, feel free. I actually didn't have time to read the whole article. I know you did. But it was interesting to me, the parts I did read, where he was talking a lot about how Harrison Ford viewed that Han Solo as a character wasn't nearly as interesting as Indiana Jones, and also didn't really have anywhere to go, anywhere to develop. It was
quote
almost
dumb as a stump.
Dumb. See, I love how Harrison Ford is very, you know, very, very eloquent and very, cautious with his words. It's interesting because that's a mere, you know, 4 years ago when these quotes were put forward. So it makes you wonder. I think the biggest news from the casting last week, honestly, is Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. And not just because it's him coming back, but because him coming back, I think, has a lot more significant meaning to the film than the other.
Something he said was, no, Han Solo was very good to me at a certain point in my career, but I'm done. I'm done with him. And when he mentioned, he was asked at that point, you know, what about the idea that Han Solo die in The Return of the Jedi? And Harrison Ford, I'll paraphrase a bit, but basically Harrison Ford thought that would add some emotional, a good emotional element to The Return of the Jedi. He felt like The Return of the Jedi didn't pack as much punch as a film, if I can put it that way. And he felt like the character of Han Solo dying would add that element to the film, which is kind of funny because the writer points out that this is a little bit contradictory. If you have a character who is kind of two-dimensional, dumb as a stump, and doesn't really add much to the movies, what is so emotional about him dying? So it would be curious to see. For me, it's like we're missing some connection.
I don't think Harrison Ford is talking about...
Harrison Ford seems to want to see Han Solo's character go in a certain direction and then end with that character's death. What I'm very curious to see, and this is my theory, what is that direction that Han Solo goes as a character?
Well,
and what leads to his death?
I don't think Harrison Ford's talking about Han Solo having... I think, in bringing it forward, we're talking about Episode 7, Harrison Ford coming back, I think, means some significant stuff for Han Solo, and that's a bit. Those have been the rumors, is that Han Solo is like one of the main characters along with the new leads, which I...
Well, I think...
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Mark.
One of the issues for Ford, in my mind, is that he constantly compares Han Solo to Indiana Jones. I mean, he even has a one part where he goes, you know, he's talking about Solo. He goes, he's got a good heart, but I think he's certainly a much less interesting character than Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem. It's like, no one's asking you to compare him to Indiana Jones right now. I mean, Han and Indy are both great characters. And yeah, there's a lot of tongue in cheek that, you know, one is the other. But at the end of the day, they were totally different characters. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways that because Harrison Ford had the opportunity to play both of those characters so close to each other, I think that, you know, he obviously favored one over the other. And I think that that is what people saw more often than not. And he wanted to distance himself away from, at the time, a franchise that wasn't putting out new films compared to one that he enjoyed a lot more that was.
Well, I think that's a very valid point. But here again, he says something that I think is very telling. Han Solo said, quote, the breadth of his, meaning Han Solo's, the breadth of his story utility was never extensive. He was the foil between the other more compelling elements of the film, between the sage old warrior and the young hero. There's not much breadth of character to explore beyond what we got out of him. So I think there's just something that there is a disconnect of Harrison Ford to the character of Han Solo, and it wasn't his favorite character. And there's
you wonder how he would like Wash as a character, because I love the pilot Wash in Firefly, and I mean, if that's how we're gonna just chalk Han up to, well, he was just the pilot, he wasn't even really needed. I don't know. I thought Wash was a great character.
Mm-hmm. You're saying, Carl?
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if Harrison Ford speaks so poorly of Han Solo, mainly because he didn't want to get typecasted. I think that was Harrison Ford's fear back in the 80s, was that he was only going to be Han Solo. And I think his reaction to that was to belittle the character. Maybe for some valid points, but also he was really trying to distance himself, because I think, like, if a fan walked up to Harrison Ford on the street, even 10 years after Return of the Jedi, and said, hey, it's Han Solo, he probably would have said, shut up, kid. Like, I feel like he really had a disdain for the type of fandom that grew out of Star Wars. I don't really know why, but, like, if you watch him on, I was just watching on YouTube the other night, when Star Wars Ruled the World. It was on MTV a number of years ago, and Harrison Ford's on it. And when he speaks about anything about these films, he's always negative. And I think he doesn't quite get how it became a cultural phenomenon. And I think he was worried for his own career that he was going to be typecast into this Han Solo character. He'd only ever be able to play characters like that. So in order to distance himself, he just kind of hated it on the character. That's my take on it. I don't know that he really, really hates Han Solo.
Yeah.
I think he really hates the fan reaction to Han Solo. I think he has a disdain for that more than anything else. So he distanced himself from it.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I could be wrong.
But. And honestly, all of these theories have pretty good, I think they all have a pretty good basis. I mean, he could be disappointed with the direction of the character, which is kind of what I think. He could be afraid of being typecast. He could dislike the fans that tended to come to the franchise in his time. And all of those things might play a part of it. But I am very curious, what is it that has him back? I mean, I get that the roles probably pay pretty well, but he's an actor who, he doesn't need the role by any means as an actor.
Yeah. No, exactly. And yeah. I think...
So there's a reason for him coming back, and it's not just, oh, well, he's coming back because of the money.
Yeah. No, and this is straight from Jedi News, is that essentially, right at the end of a report from Entertainment Weekly... just from this week, they go through and confirm a lot of things, at least in Entertainment Weekly, which I kind of consider, if you're talking Variety, Entertainment Weekly, those have been the most like legitimate sources of Star Wars rumors. So those, usually when we're talking about rumors on the show, that's the sources we're talking about, because they actually seem fairly legitimate. But like, for instance, one of the facts that they quote in the most recent EW article is that Han Solo is considered a co-lead alongside the three younger actors. So... I don't know, that's significant to me, and I actually personally really like the idea of that, because if you were asking me which of the big three actors you would want to have a big featured role in this film, I would pick Harrison Ford, because I think he's the and this is just my opinion, the best on-screen actor of the three, and he's also continued on to have a really successful career and a great body of work as a working actor. And I, so like, as far as me having faith both as a fan and, say, if I were an executive looking at the actors to come back to, you know, the possible next billion-dollar, you know, Disney franchise, Harrison Ford is that known quantity where they know he's reliable, if you know what I mean. Because
it'd be kind of cool to see Han playing like the mentor role to like Luke's younger son that has no Force connection. Look, kid, I've had no Force connection my whole life. It's never slowed me down. You know, totally take him under his wing the whole time or something while the other kids are all being Jedi and stuff.
Yeah, I love Harrison Ford, and I think he's probably the greatest asset to this film. He would have been the one I would be most disappointed if they didn't get his return, for sure.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm a huge Han Solo fan. So. Yeah. Really glad that he came back.
Well, and let me ask you this, Carl. I think some of his criticism, maybe not his overboard reaction over the years, but his criticism of Han Solo being a foil, I do think there is an element that Han Solo was never fully realized as a character, because I think a sacrifice, you know, you guys are talking about redemption, on the Wampa's Lair, a great sacrifice from Han Solo would kind of complete his character arc. Because, yes, sure, he kind of turned away from his wily ways at the end of A New Hope. But after that, aside from his romance with Leia, there really was no character development.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think his character's developed a great deal in Empire, actually. I think that's
outside of the romance, or just like his relationship with Leia.
I think even I could
certainly see it with
maybe not too much.
Yeah, I could see it with his relationship with Leia, but I kind of, for some reason in my mind, compartmentalized that because that is, you know, it's funny because Empire is not thought of it of this way, but a good chunk of that film is the romance between Han Solo and Leia. I think it's just because it's a good romance. That's actually why it kind of blends into the story instead of jerking you out of it like the one in episode two. but no, I don't know. It's interesting. It's a great article. It'll be in the show notes. We'll link to them at StarWarsReport.com and do that. And we still have Star Wars Rebels to talk about. But before we do, I wanted to thank our sponsor for this episode. Hey, it's Big Bad Toy Store. Man, they've been sponsoring us for quite a few episodes, and we really do appreciate it. Really, since our Dragon Con coverage, they've been with us. So that's super awesome of them, and they're continuing to do so. So we thank them. What you want to do is go to StarWarsReport.com/toys, and that basically takes you at a link portal straight through our site to Big Bad Toy Store, and that's where you can find a great selection of Star Wars action figures, collectibles, memorabilia, and much more. Again, that's StarWarsReport.com/toys. All right, guys. It's happening.
In a time of darkness, when fear ruled the galaxy, heroes will rise, destinies will collide.
Who is that king?
And a rebellion will ignite.
Get ready.
Now!
Who are you guys?
We're a team.
What part of blast them did you not understand?
Troopers, focus your fire on the Jedi.
Aw, yeah.
Star Wars Rebels. Join the Rebellion. Premieres this fall on Disney XD.
Inquisitor, I have encountered a rebel cell.
You did well to call.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
There it is.
Woo woo.
Wow, I jumped right into that Vanessa Marshall interview. They're really excited about it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Reactions. Bethany, we'll start with you.
I as fellow Star Wars fans on Twitter may have noticed, because I was tweeting from the Star Wars Report account about my somewhat apathetic level of excitement. It's not a lack of excitement, but it's just like I'm not that excited for the show Rebels.
What?
It's like I haven't gotten into it. I haven't invested in the characters yet. It's just, it's new, and I want the Clone Wars.
I don't know.
I've decided that I'm clinging onto the Clone Wars too much.
Yeah.
But
well,
that trailer looked really
I mean,
cool.
It looks great. It's very similar. You can see the differences between that and the Clone Wars style. It's less stylized, which I like. Mm-hmm. Really like that. This is the first real good look at it. Mark, what did you think?
Man, I loved it. You know, I've said on other shows, we talk clones especially, how I wasn't really a fan of the Stormtrooper armor.
Yeah.
That aside, I love the fact that the Inquisitor had that very Tron-like look with the way his lightsaber kind of clicks into the back of his little getup there. And I really, truly love the feel I get for Kanan or Kanan or whatever the Jedi guy's name is. He reminds me so much of Malcolm Reynolds. I'm just looking forward to it.
Yes.
And I love the way that he kind of busts out the two parts of the lightsaber, clicks it together. I'm just, when that happened, I was just like, yes, I'm excited for this, because, you know, Riley, you and me, we defer when it comes to, you know, the vision of Star Wars. You've always been a Lucas first vision, but for me, this kind of, it kind of goes in a different direction than what I always felt like Lucas wanted for this era. Cause I remember him saying with the live action, Jedi, we're going to show
Jedi,
but this is, you know, a different medium. But I love the fact knowing that anything could happen here. I mean, you know, before Lucas sold to Disney, you kind of knew somewhat what to expect from Lucas, but he always kept it kind of like, oh yeah, but you didn't expect this kind of thing. Now it's just completely, you don't know what to expect. I'm just like, everything that's coming my way, I'm like, oh, that's just, that's awesome. You can just tell there's a level of passion behind everything being built and sent out at the moment.
Yeah. Carl, are you with us?
I am.
Awesome. So you first saw this trailer. What was your initial reaction now that you kind of have a better idea, at least of the flavor of the show?
Yeah. quick little thing is, I wish they had swapped, as much as I loved getting the announcement the day we did. That trailer was a little underwhelming to be the big May the 4th release.
Sure. Yeah.
I think if they had shown that a few days before and then they announced the cast on May the 4th, that would have been way cooler.
I still maintain that they were going to announce the cast, and then there were literally the day they announced, throughout that morning, rumors were popping up. Andy Serkis rumor popped up like about 4 hours before the official announcement. So I think that they were they jumped to it more quickly so that rumors wouldn't fly around. Sorry, but that's just my theory. But yeah, okay. I definitely agree.
The trailer was good, though. I mean, when they were doing all those little clips, like introducing us to the characters, I wasn't interested in any of the characters.
Sure, yeah.
I was like, okay. But then I was like, but I initially, like, I didn't watch the Clone Wars for a good 2 years because I hated the movie. I mean, Clone Wars movie was, I mean, in my opinion, was terrible.
But
so when I saw
that
movie,
like Stinky
I was like,
the
I
Hutt?
Have no interest in the show.
You didn't know Stinky the Hutt? No.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Jabba having kids is so believable in our Star Wars galaxy.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
So when I saw the movie, and I was like, oh, the show is probably going to be terrible. So I didn't watch it until like a couple of years in. I was, you know, I saw one online. I was like, whatever, I'll give it a shot. And it was obviously Ambush. And I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. So even when I saw these little like character shorts, I was like, okay, I'm not like, nobody grabs me yet, but whatever. Like I wasn't grabbed by Clone Wars initially either. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm open to this.
When eventually, like, remember this at Celebration 6 when we sat down and saw that Season 5 trailer? Where Sidious jumps out at the end.
I was sitting next to you too.
Yeah, no, you were. And like that level of excitement is going to be, it's going to take years to replicate because we're talking about.
Right.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right.
Oh, no, okay, sorry, yeah, no. But I mean, because we had 5 years of equity built into it, and of course, I find, you know, large parts of the prequel era very compelling as far as storytelling goes. Mm-hmm. I know some people don't, but like when you're talking about Darth Maul, Savage Opress, and the Emperor in a duel, and when you finally see Darth Sidious ignite two lightsabers, that when you see that on screen at the trailer with 3,000 other Star Wars fans, that's the kind of That's essentially what they have to beat. So it's going to be very hard. Like we're all kind of like, I hear this reaction. Oh, I was like, oh, it looks pretty good. You know, it looks interesting. I'll check it out. But there isn't this level of excitement that comes with 5 seasons of Clone Wars.
We also have all new characters that we have no attachment to yet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you know, so that's fair.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, I mean, the long and short is I'm going to echo basically what Mark said. The trailer was cool. I loved seeing stormtroopers. The armor is a bit odd, Mark. I didn't even really quite pick up on it until you just said that. It's like, yeah, it was a little weird. I'm glad I'm not alone. But I just like you said, at the end, though, I mean, I love the idea that Freddie Prinze Jr. is a Jedi Knight in the Star Wars universe. I mean, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, all those chick flicks he was in the mid-90s, I am pumped. So I know what you did this summer, Freddie. You became a Jedi.
Exactly.
I thought it looked, I think it looks really good. And when he pulled, like you said, Mark, like when he puts that lightsaber together and ignites it, I was like, okay, that's cool. And as much as I was like initially not a fan of the idea of the Inquisitor, he does look really cool right at the end of the trailer. There is this ominous feel to him that I like.
Yeah.
As long as we see Darth Vader killing some Jedi in this series. Like,
yes.
I think that that's really important. Because the Inquisitor, so, it was great. They're like, we found a rebel cell. It's like, okay, great. I'm fine with him like rooting out rebels and stuff like that. But Vader, it's very important that he goes after the Jedi. Like we're told in Episode 4, he helped hunt down and kill the Jedi. Like Lucas, even though he's not in control anymore, but like try for once to match up your prequel to what you've already written. Not that hard.
Yeah.
So.
That was kind of funny.
That was kind of a funny slip because it is true. It would be great to see. And I mean, frankly, it'd be a waste. If we don't see, you know, a Boba Fett getting into the world of becoming a renowned bounty hunter, or see glimpses of Darth Vader hunting down Jedi. You know, those kinds of things that you're wasting a series. Now, it is good to keep
I want to touch on that before we move away, because Carl brings up a great point. Some people don't want to see Vader, and I see both sides of this, but I'm with Carl, but I think it'll happen progressively slower than what Carl's hoping for. I think at the end of the first season, Vader's going to find out.
Yeah, and I will be. Yeah, I don't think you want a very Vader heavy series. That's fine, but it'd be good to see a couple little cameos. That's really important.
Yeah. See, and that's where I see it going. I see this as being like, okay, whatever happened to cause the Jedi to pull out his lightsaber? Once he did, he dropped the rock in the pond, and there's a ripple. And the Inquisitor is going to be the first one on the scene. So I think that what we're going to originally see is him struggling to take down this rebel cell, especially because there's the Jedi. And I think what we're going to see at the end of the first season is Vader will probably find out about it. And maybe in second season, Vader will be kind of working his way to figure out all the details and kind of rope it. But I think by the time we get to the third season, I think Vader's going to be kind of factoring in prominently. And you may even see like an aspect of two villains where you've got the Inquisitor hunting him down from one angle and Vader from another. And I think that it's all going to be focused around this one rebel cell, which I think is a brilliant way to go about it. Plus, you're telling the story of another Jedi, which goes back to what I was saying before about how Lucas said, you know, that you weren't going to get a show with a lot of Jedi. Well, if this one's supposed to be considered the canon only other Jedi aside from Kenobi and Yoda out there that survived, that would be okay. I'd be fine with going and rolling with it, and I think it's a cool way to tell that story.
No, for sure. And I think like the moment, I think it is a you definitely hit on something, Mark, where this moment right here when he says,
"Old troopers, focus your fire on the Jedi."
You get the glory shot of Kanan.
I did like that.
What's interesting, though, is that it's only 1 minute long. So it's very difficult to... It's not really a trailer, even. It's very much a teaser. It's kind of a series of vignettes, but you don't really get any sense of the story. Because I just want to remind you guys of what I think... And maybe I'm biased. I don't know. I almost feel like sacrilege to say this, but the greatest Star Wars trailer of recent memory, I'll just put it that way as a little caveat, is when you hear for over 1,000 years we prepared, we grew stronger, you know, the trailer for the Old Republic, the launch trailer, that it told a story within the trailer that got you really interested in the era. Even though you don't know who Darth Malgus is at the time or who the other characters are, you were intrigued. And that's an element that I think is missing from it, maybe just by virtue of its length, but also because stylistically it's very much still a teaser. So, I don't know. I frankly, my expectations at this point are, this series, I don't expect it to be quite nearly as good as the Clone Wars. At least, you know, when the Clone Wars was riding astride. But I'm sure it'll be a fun watch, and I will definitely be watching it this fall.
Well, see, in a lot of ways, I'm hoping that it will be better. I mean, in the aspect of, you know, I always saw Lucas as someone that loves Star Wars, but only his Star Wars, and didn't embrace everything, whereas his story group's going to be doing more embracing everything. So I'm really excited to see where we go with this and how they interlace things with what's came before in terms of the Clone Wars and the movies and the new stuff that's coming down the pike. I think it's a brilliant place to be in that regard.
Well, and the thing is that this is canon for sure. This is significant, and in doing so, I really hope it ties into the films. And that is my hope, especially with this overall reboot, is that this stuff ties more into the films.
You know, I think what's really exciting with the series too is when they're choosing to start it in the timeline, like it's 10 years after Revenge of the Sith. Which I think is really important, because if they'd started it right after Revenge of the Sith, it wouldn't be compelling, because it's probably going to take a little time for this rebellion to really organize itself, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to the fact that they're giving it a little bit of time lapse, so that there is this resistance movement building up. Because really, I mean, if you watch Revenge of the Sith, everybody's applauding this new empire. I mean, sure, some of them are probably like doing it just to save face, but it's same time, everybody is terrified of how powerful Palpatine is. So it's going to take some time to really start utilizing and formulating rebellion. So,
oh, absolutely.
So I like where it's starting, you know, and like you both said, Mark and Riley, you know, it's so good that we are going to get some Jedi. So,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And as Mark,
please just don't show it out of order. That's all I care about. Do not show it out of order.
I hope not. That is the bane of so much television. But I'm looking forward to it. Star Wars Rebels coming up. Star Wars Episode 7. A good time indeed to be a Star Wars fan. That's going to put this episode of the Star Wars Report in the books. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. A couple things you need to know before you scuttle your way out of here and back to your normal non-Star Wars life.
I don't want to scuttle away.
I know. There's a long pause there, by the way. Exactly. No, I want to thank our sponsor for this episode, against Big Bad Toy Store. Go to StarWarsReport.com/toys to check out reduced prices, 15 to 50% off. On over 5,000 items. It's awesome. StarWarsReport.com/toys. Hey, get in touch with us. Be part of the Star Wars Report conversation. Join us on our Facebook page. That's Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Tweet us. It's @StarWarsReport. And hey, we always appreciate your reviews and ratings on iTunes. If you go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, that'll direct you right over to the iTunes directory, and we really do appreciate ratings and reviews. That really helps get the word out about the show. It's, like I say, it's a good time to be a Star Wars fan. If you have friends who are into it and you think they'd like the show, don't hog it to yourself. Let folks know about this here podcast. Whew. Mark, it's been a pleasure. Bethany, it's been a pleasure. Carl, I do want to jump to you. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your evening. It's good to catch up with you, man.
Always, always. Thanks for having me. And I'm sorry my internet connection is so bad.
No, it's
nothing I can do about that. Mercy of the invisible gods.
Well, exactly. Just be sure to tell Steve Glosson how it feels. Just
don't worry. I'll tell him as I hug him.
Exactly. No. I'll tell you what, man. It's less than a year to Celebration Anaheim, Celebration 7. And I cannot wait to actually get back in touch with you and Steve and the gang. And, of course, Mark joining us as well. So, again, and also don't forget, if you're going to be at Disney Star Wars Weekends, hey, let us know, or jump on board with crashing the Rebel Force Radio meetup. We're definitely looking forward to seeing those guys and seeing a bunch of folks out at Star Wars Weekends. That puts this episode of the Star Wars Report, I promise I can talk, of the Star Wars Report in the books. We appreciate you listening. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
I always like how that ends.
Mm-mm.